This is Jaleda Jarman interviewing Ms. Thelma Miller at her home in Georgia on March 18, 1995. The subject of the interview is concerning the civil rights movement and how it affected her. The first question is, what part of the state are your parents from?
My parents live in South Carolina, Anderson, South Carolina.
Okay. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one brother and four sisters.
How many older and how many younger?
They're all younger than I am.
How much education did your parents have?
My father, I believe, had a fourth grade education, and my mother, I think, fifth grade.
What were their occupations?
My mother was a housewife, of course, with all those children. And my dad worked at one of the textile mills.
Do you remember anything, him saying anything about the textile mills?
No, because he was a laborer, so basically it was a cotton mill. And my dad was a very good worker, so he never really had any problems. So he never ever complained about his job. Of course, during that time, there would be situations where there could have been upgrades, and because of segregation during that time, they were not ever given any of the good jobs. The low man on the totem pole, so to speak.
Okay. How much education do you have?
I have a high school education.
And what is your occupation?
My occupation at the moment is an accountant. I did get a scholarship to go to college after high school, but I got married instead.
What community did you live in?
I live in a little small town in South Carolina, very small town. And we were, I guess, borderline poor during that time. I was born in 1945. So during that time, segregation was pretty big at that time. And
how would you describe, like, the racial makeup and occupation of the community?
Of course, during that time, blacks and whites were really separated. I mean, we didn't do anything together. If you go to the doctor, you had to enter into the back door. Restrooms for blacks and restrooms for whites. The fountains were, there was a fountain for white and a fountain for colored. And the restaurants, you couldn't go into a restaurant and sit down for a meal. If you wanted something from a restaurant, you had to enter from the back entrance and order your food to go. You were not able to ride in the front of the bus. Of course, the schools at that time were segregated. It was just after I was out of high school before the schools were integrated. I guess maybe back in the 70s.
In high school, so did you experience the mixed races, you know, like black and white, together in one school?
No.
You didn't go through that?
No, I didn't go through that. In my town, it was strictly black on one side of the town and white on the other. We didn't mix at all.
Could you describe, like, how the different water fountains looked? Were they the same?
Yeah, they were the same fountains, but it was just that a black person could not drink water from a fountain that had a sign over it that said white. You just did not do that. You did not enter into a restroom that said it was for whites. And you had to be very careful about certain towns that you were in at that time, too, because make sure that you got out of town before dark, because it was just the type of situation where if you were black and in a white situation, normally you had problems.
When school, do they have the same benefit, you know, do you think?
The white schools' curriculum is so much more different than in the black schools. In fact, black kids today, they don't realize how fortunate they are, because when I was in high school, I would have given anything to have the opportunity to offer to kids, not just black kids, white kids, all kids. But when I was in school, you know, basically multiplication, adding, subtracting, and just basic learning, nothing spectacular.
Okay. Would you feel that the whites had a better school as far as the way it was built? They had the, you would say, the best?
Oh, yes, they had the best schools, the best teachers, you know. And there again is, when you talk about what was offered to black people during that time, of course, the whites were better educated than the blacks because they had more opportunities than the blacks had. So, of course, the learning was greater. And so you had these same black teachers that were deprived of the education that the whites had teaching the black children. So I guess you would say we were limited as to what we could learn because we were not offered that much.
Knowing your limitations as far as education, and I want to know, how did that make you feel growing up?
Well, I guess I would have probably been more enthused about accepting my scholarship and going on to college if I felt like, you know, the opportunities. I guess I can't say that the opportunity was not there for anybody, because that wouldn't be true. I guess you can always get out of anything pretty much what you put into it. It's just that it wasn't a lot to give you incentive then, you know. You just didn't, I don't know. I guess when I look now at the opportunities that kids have, if I had had that same opportunity back then, I do believe I would have gone on to school. But I just did not have the incentive to go. I guess when you look at the limitations, job-wise, what you were offered at that time, a prime example is, I guess I was out of high school, a year after I was out of high school, and applied for this job. I wanted to be a clerk. I didn't want to be a nurse's aide in this hospital. They didn't have any black clerks at that time. And I took this exam for this job, and I was told that I didn't pass the test, and I was offered the nurse's aide job. Well, I was desperate for a job, so I accepted it. And the first day, in my excitement, I went out and bought my white uniform and my white shoes, and the first day on the job, I was called into the office of the supervisor. And the supervisor informed me that sometime ago I had taken this test, and for a clerk, and that they were now employing black clerks in the hospital. This all happened like within a week, so my timing was really good. And she said to me, would you rather have the clerk job or would you rather be a nurse's aide? So I said, what question is that? Of course I would rather be a clerk. So she said, I said, but I was told I did not pass the exam. She said, who told you that? You did pass the exam. And I said, well, I was told I didn't pass the exam and I had to be a nurse's aide. She said, you did pass the exam, and if you want the clerk job, it's yours. And of course, I accepted. And I was one of the best clerks they had in that hospital. But whoever tested me at that time had told me that I didn't pass because they didn't want to hire a black for that position. But as it turned out, I ended up with the position anyway.
Taking these tests, do you feel they were racial bias? No.
I guess they did ask a lot of questions that I about things that I never had access to, you know. And I did a lot of guessing, really. And it was really fortunate that I passed. But not ever seeing, you know, something that I could compare, I wouldn't be able to say that, you know, that it was biased.
Okay. As far as talking like the test, I know they did a study saying like the SATs and stuff were racially biased, and so now they have a lower score that the Afro-American or minority can get like scholarships versus if a white person took it, their expectations are higher. So that's, it's still, I guess,
here
still
again,
around.
You go back to what black kids had available to them. You know, the white race always had the best schools, the best teachers, I mean the best everything. And we had to take what was offered, and that was not very much during that time. So you have this generation teaching the next generation and the next generation and so forth and so on. And until we get our kids into the generation where they were offered the same things that whites were offered, this is when you're going to see the big difference in the intelligence of blacks. Because we just did not have access to a lot of things back then. So naturally, the white kids did. So I don't know how anyone would expect to compare the knowledge between a white person and a black person from that generation unless, say, take me for an example. And if I were to go back to school now and you know, and further my education. Of course, just living in this world now, and where there's not quite as much racial bias as it was then. And of course, I've learned more because I've had access to more. But back then, I didn't. You know, I had to settle for. I joke every once in a while that certain things I say. You know, I say, well, okay. Sort of like going way back and remembering things that your grandmother said to you, and then your mother and your dad, who didn't have any education at all, things that they said to you every now and then they come out. You know, things that you would say is not, you know, you're not speaking properly, or you don't say it like that, you know, but this is what you heard all your life. And the only way that you can correct that is trying to further your education. And like I try to stress to my son all the time, you should read. Just read anything. You know, it just doesn't have to be on short stories, or just pick up a magazine and just read something, or read the newspaper, but read, you know. And that's something that I don't think was forced on kids back then, because our parents couldn't read, you know, and most of them couldn't write.